Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate podcast with Clayton Morris. This is the show where we focus on buy and hold real estate. Why do we do it? We do it for the purposes of creating passive income and legacy wealth for you and your family. If you're interested in finding your freedom number, come over to our website at morrisinvest.com/freedom and download your free financial freedom cheat sheet today. Hey, everybody, welcome into another episode of Investing in Real Estate. I am Clayton Morris, and this is the show where we focus on building legacy wealth, increasing our net worth, and the vehicle that we use is real estate investing. And I realize that, you know, real estate investing can seem overwhelming. Where do I find a house? How do I connect with people? Where do I even begin? How do I get started? Well, that's what today's episode is all about, because we've done a lot of different topics on buy and hold real estate, commercial real estate, even mobile home park investing. We've done all kinds of stripes, but we've never really talked about that simple social strategy to connect with professionals in order to increase our portfolio, increase our social network, so to speak, the people that you'd want to take out to lunch, the people that maybe might end up becoming a private investor with your real estate holdings and your portfolio. And that's what we're going to talk about today, LinkedIn. And there's no one better to talk about it than Donna Cerdula. She pioneered the concept of LinkedIn profile optimization, realizing early on that LinkedIn profile was so much more than just an online resume, and that the LinkedIn profile is an amazing opportunity for branding. And yet so many people don't optimize their LinkedIn profile, and it kind of looks like garbage, kind of like mine, I bet. So today, Donna joins us on the show. Welcome to the show, Donna.
Oh, thank you, Clayton, for having me. This is fantastic.
So we haven't really done anything like this on the show before, and I think this is a fantastic opportunity. You know, so many people talk about, you know, trying to raise private money, and they want to, you know, build their sort of their professional one sheet that they're going to go to a local real estate meeting, and they're going to hand a private investor and hope that they're going to get funding for their deals, or, you know, they're worried about putting their best foot forward, but they don't really think about the number one business social network. The way that, you know, professionals connect is on LinkedIn. So I'm excited that we're going to dive into this today. And you've got a new book out about this as well. Tell us about that. And we're going to dive into the nitty gritty here.
Yeah, sure. Well, as most people, they are aware of the Four Dummies series of books. They've been out for ages. I think the very first one was DOS for Dummies. But they just recently, last year, they reached out to me and they asked me to create a LinkedIn profile optimization for dummies book. And it was just released December. And so it's been out for just a couple months. But it's all about walking people through the building of a powerful LinkedIn profile that's going to provide results.
That is wonderful. That is wonderful. So we'll have links to that in our show notes page for today's episode. So if you're driving, don't worry about it. You can go there. We're going to have links to and notes about everything that we're going to talk about on today's show. So I'm excited. A little bit later in the show, Donna has agreed we're going to pull up my LinkedIn profile and kind of do a live critique. And we're going to start at the top, go all the way to the bottom. And look, we're going to be totally transparent here on the show. And you're going to kind of rip it apart, build me back up like Humpty Dumpty, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, good, good. So tell us a little bit of your background. I mentioned, you know, obviously that you saw the power of profile optimization. You spent your first 10 years of your career in sales and marketing and training, and then you joined LinkedIn back in 2005, and all you did was just kind of stick your resume up there.
Yeah,
How did you end up going on this journey where you realized the power of this thing?
Well, you know, back then, back in 2005, it looked like a resume to me. And so that's what I just did. I copied and pasted it in, and I sort of leaned back and I waited for opportunity to hit, because back then, and as of today, LinkedIn is the place to go to get the, you know, business opportunity, you know, find success. And at that time, nothing happened to me after pasting my resume. And I really thought LinkedIn was this huge waste of time. But it was just a few years later, I had been given a new territory and I needed to build it from scratch. And so I started to cold call, and, you know, I was really trying to you know, find success with this territory. And what I found is, as I was making my cold calls, people were Googling me. They wanted to know more about who this person was who was trying to sell them. Back at the time, it was CAD software. And when people Googled me, what they were finding, one of the only real pertinent results was my LinkedIn profile. And it looked like my dull, out-of-date, boring resume.
Right.
And when I made that, you know, that recognition of, oh my gosh, this is what people are finding. This is how I've chosen to present myself. I was horrified. And I realized that, wait, LinkedIn is so much more than just an online resume. This is an engine for branding. This is a way of really communicating my value. This is a way of shaping how people perceive me. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I had that, I mean, you know, it was really an epiphany. I decided to work as hard as I could to truly make that profile reflect me, but even more so, reflect what my target audience needed to know about me. And once I did that, I started to find amazing success. My prospects were engaging with me sooner. They were forming rapport with me sooner. They trusted me. They wanted to work with me. And I built that territory. Like I said, it was nothing. So from zero, I went to 3.4 million in a year. And it had a lot to do with LinkedIn. It had a lot to do with my profile. And it was just a short time after that I decided this is what I need to do. I need to let other people recognize the power of LinkedIn, the power of the profile, the ability to shape how others perceive you. And that's when I started my company and I really went down this path full time.
So in 2009, you walked away from your sales career and you created LinkedIn, LinkedInMakeover.com.
Yeah.
And became one of the foremost experts in this whole strategy. Now you have over 40 writers that help thousands of executives, entrepreneurs, and professionals and companies from all over the world tell their story and brand themselves successfully using LinkedIn. Yeah. And that was born out of what you were noticing as you were tweaking and changing and reaching out and building your profile, right?
Yeah. And it was the success that I had. You know, I one of the things that I found is that people do business with people. And it's a Google world out there. They are going to do their due diligence. They are going to check you out. They are going to research you. They want to know who they're working with. And LinkedIn just has a lot of Google juice, those profiles. So when you type in a person's name, more often than not, that LinkedIn profile is going to be popping up. And a lot of times people don't even want to look at your website. They want to see what's on LinkedIn. They want to see, you know, where you came from, what you've done. And this is a vehicle that you can use to really shape how people perceive you.
It's powerful. Now, there were some things you talked about, and we're going to dive into some of the mechanics and how people can optimize their profiles for real estate investing or wealth building, networking in that regard. But what were some of the tweaks that you noticed early on that were working for you when you started to, as you said, pay attention to the branding aspect of your profile? What were some key things that you changed in the beginning that started to give you results?
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing that I noticed is that most people, they wanted to write in third person. And they, or just list bullets in their summary. And what I found was if you really want to engage with your reader, you need to write in first person narrative, and you need to write in a conversational, engaging type of tone. A lot of people wanted to do that resume, just copy and paste, you know, a bio that was written in third voice, you know, so it would be not just saying, like yours says, I'm a news anchor on America's number one morning show, Fox and Friends. So yours is already written in first person, but a lot of people would do it in third. And it was separating it. It created distance between you and the reader. And I believe that summary needs to be a digital introduction. It's that first impression. And so you really do. You want to introduce yourself and give that elevator pitch. How can you help other people? And so that was really the number one thing that I noticed first and foremost. And then the second thing that I noticed is you really need to write to your target audience. Not everyone is on LinkedIn to look for a job. So the resume doesn't make sense if that goal isn't job search. Even if it is job search, you still don't want to just copy and paste the resume. You want things to build upon each other. You want a person to request the resume. And so I would say, you know, initially it was writing it in first person, really writing it in a conversational tone, but also thinking in terms of your target audience. What do they need to know about you? And writing towards those ends.
For the layperson who's never really, you know, even logged into LinkedIn, has no idea what LinkedIn's about, how would you describe LinkedIn? What is it? How is it different from Facebook? How is it different from Twitter?
Yeah, LinkedIn is really, it is a different type of social network. In fact, they don't even say it's a social network. They say it's a professional network. And unlike Facebook, you know, unlike Twitter, it really is centered and focused on your career, on your industry, on the professional aspects. So you don't go on LinkedIn finding out what happened on Games of Thrones last night.
Right.
It's really about, you know, you in a professional sense, your career and your industry. And that to me is wonderful. You never have to feel like you're giving too much away or you're in that situation where you're a little uncomfortable because you're a private person. Well, that doesn't really play a huge part with LinkedIn because you're not giving those types of things away. It is professional, and it's a place to go to connect with people on a professional level. It's a place to go to brand yourself on a professional level, and it's a place to go to network with others on a professional level.
Where do you start? I mean, if you're a real estate investor, you're just getting started and, you know, you're married, whatever, and you've got a small family, you've got a busy day job, but you want to start expanding beyond, you know, you work at a hospital, but you want to start buying rental properties and you want to start expanding that footprint in your life and creating legacy wealth. So you want to start looking at people who you could work with, network on LinkedIn, maybe private money lenders, those sorts of people, individuals, other investors, maybe.
Yeah.
Where would you start with something like that? I don't want to say it's a hobby for somebody, right? They've got their day job, but they want to do it in the right ways where it doesn't appear as if this is their new full-time job, I guess.
Right. Well, I would say this in terms of where how they would start with LinkedIn is first. And this is really the foundation of LinkedIn, and that is the profile. And so what they would want to do is, one, make sure that their profile is professional. It showcases them in the right light. It shows their career trajectory. And even though they might be, as you said, you know, working at a hospital full-time and getting into real estate, you know, as a side hustle, you know, that you want to mention, you know, talk about what you're doing in a professional way, you know, showcase, you know, what you're doing on a day-to-day basis, but weave in the real estate piece and showcase it as well. It's not one of those things where it's either or, but you can weave the two together within the summary to show that you're doing both, and that's okay. But do it in a manner that's positive and that shows how it is in some ways interrelated.
Now, what kind of maintenance do we need to, is this sort of a, like a Ron Popeil sort of set it and forget it? Or are you in here every day actively? I mean, what sort of a diet do you need to have on LinkedIn to really make it work for you?
Well, I would say that once you have that profile in place, it's never going to be written in stone. It needs to reflect who you are in time. And so as a person who perhaps, you know, is getting started with real estate investing, you know, as they become more and more, just better at it and doing more and more of it, they're going to want to make sure that profile reflects the more that they're doing and the successes that they've had until at the point where maybe that's what they're doing full time. And so that profile should be shifting and changing and they should always be updating it. But in addition to that, if I can even go back to your previous question, you know, if they want to get the most out of LinkedIn, there's really three things that they can do. And the first is optimize the profile. The second thing they're going to want to do is build a strong network. Really make sure that they're connecting with not just the right people, but all of the people they're intersecting with on a day-to-day basis, because that network is really powerful and it's going to help them into the long run. And once they have a strong network, then the third part of LinkedIn is utilizing that network, leveraging that network, and broadcasting to that network, staying in touch with them, marketing to them. But, you know, really using LinkedIn as that way of staying in touch, writing the status updates. And once they're doing those three things, having that strong network, building, having that strong profile, having that strong network, and then being able to stay in touch and leverage it, that's when they're going to find a lot of success.
Today's episode is brought to you by Casper. It's an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. Natalie and I are huge fans of the Casper, wouldn't you say so?
I would say so, for sure.
Yeah, because we've got a king-size Casper mattress in our home. That's the bed we sleep on every night of our lives. And we actually just bought a Casper mattress for my parents for Christmas. They feature supportive memory foams to create an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink, just the right bounce. And it's amazing. So it'll show up in this like tiny box. And you're like, there's no way there's a mattress in there. And then you cut open the box. They even give you like the little cutting tools to just slice open the box. And then you put
it. I don't remember that. Do they?
Yeah, it's like a little like razor blade thing you just slice open. It's so fantastic. And then it
looks really weird. You're like, what? This is my, have I made a mistake? That can't possibly be comfortable. And then you open it up and you lay on it and you're like, wow, okay, I did not make a mistake. It's amazing.
Yeah. And so it opens up and in like, I don't know, goes to its normal shape. So you want to put it in the room where you're going to keep it. And then it's, you know, it's enormous and it's designed, developed, and assembled in the United States. And guess what? Here's the best part about Casper. Because you can't go to like one of those mattress stores and lay down for 5 seconds and say, yep, I'm sold. You can't really get a good feeling for a mattress until you actually sleep on it. So Casper will let you spend 100 nights on the mattress risk-free in your own home. And if you don't love it, they're going to come and pick it up and they'll refund you everything. You don't have to ship it back. They'll come to your house, they'll pick it up, and they'll refund you everything. But the thing is, you're not going to want a refund because it's so fantastic. So it's so fantastic. I love the Casper. And they actually just rolled out their new Casper pillows, which you and I, we've gone through so many different pillow varieties.
Oh, yeah. We have like 7 pillows in our room that are, and all of them are pretty new within the last year. And we just, you know, it feels like you just can't get it right. And then we got this one recently and we're like, yep, this is the right thing.
Like, why did we wait?
It's so easy.
Why did we wait? Like, we love our Casper mattress. Why, when they rolled out the new Casper pillows, why didn't we get them right away?
That's a good question. It's an existential question, really, because there's no answer.
Yeah. So anyway, we got the pillows and we're like, holy smokes, this is perfect. Now we've got the perfect combination, the perfect pillows and the perfect mattress. My parents, we bought theirs for Christmas, the king size, and they absolutely love it. That's a game changer. My mom used to have back pain. She no longer has it as a result of it. Free shipping and returns to the United States and Canada. They have over 20,000 reviews, an average of a 4.8 stars. It's quickly become the internet's favorite mattress. So here's what you do. And what's great is because they're a sponsor of our show, you are going to get $50 towards any mattress by visiting casper.com /IIRE. So you have to go to casper.com and then use IIRE as the promo code when you're checking out. So just go to the website, casper.com/IIRE. Otherwise, you won't get the $50 off. Once you go to that URL, casper.com/IIRE, which is investing in real estate. And then when you're checking out, use that coupon code IIRE. And you are going to be able to get a fantastic $50 towards any mattress purchase. Check them out today. Go to casper.com/IIRE. And tell them we sent you. Thanks, Casper. So for me, let's say that I, for my company, Morris Invest, like we are a turnkey provider, right? So we rehab, you know, dozens of homes every month. And I'm just trying to think, just so people can understand out there, what a status update might look like. For instance, on Instagram the other night, I posted one of our most recent rehabs that we just finished and just said, you know, always so proud when our team wraps up another rehab. And I just posted some pictures of the inside of the house. It looks great, you know, and then we're about to get it rented up for the client and they're going to be, you know, happy as a clam. So what would you do? How would you do differently what you might do on Instagram than on LinkedIn? Might I do something very similar as a status update?
Yeah, you could. You could absolutely take an image and post it out there and state, you know, what you did and how you did it. You could talk about what you're going to get out of it, what kind of a return. But that would be a fantastic way of keeping your network up to date with what you're doing and the results that you're having. So, you know, with the main difference here is, you know, maybe on Instagram, you're going to be posting a lot more prettier pictures because people are more visually oriented there.
Right.
But on LinkedIn, you might want to go a little bit more into the business end of things. So always think in terms of, you know, that audience, that demographic, and what they're hoping to achieve from that social network. So with LinkedIn, it might be a little bit more of a business-minded status update, but you would still utilize that great picture and tell that story.
So here's sort of an on-the-fly tweak then. I might say instead of just, oh, so glad we wrapped up this rehab, I might say something about the return on the investment. Like, well, we just wrapped up this rehab. This one is going to be, you know, this has nice chunk of equity already. It's going to produce about a 12% return on investment, and it's in a great neighborhood. You know, I might talk a little bit more about that structure and the amount of cash flow that I might get year over year for this property.
Yeah. And then just lean back and wait. You might find that people are commenting to see how they could get in on something as good as that.
Right. Well, it is amazing. I mean, I don't do a lot of this, but when I do post that stuff, and or if I just run into people randomly at, you know, whether it's at Starbucks or at, you know, at the office or other places where people will say to me, oh yeah, you know, how's real estate going? I need to get into that. And I want to talk to you about this. I've got this money in my 401k and I want to start to actually make that money work for me. And I'm saying, oh yeah, absolutely. Let's talk. Let's have coffee. And I'm happy to help you. You know, and it's amazing how, and I forget that they've seen it even just on Instagram or on Facebook, and they're becoming aware of it just by, and I'm just sitting back and they're becoming educated as to what I'm doing.
Yeah. And that's really the beauty with LinkedIn is there's that drip feeding where you just keep dripping just a little bit of information, a little bit of information, and people are paying attention. And, you know, they start to follow along, and before you know it, they feel they know you better than you even realize it, because they've been watching and learning and listening. And when they're ready, they know who to reach out to, that person that they've been paying attention to for so long.
Well, this is great stuff. So people can start to just connect with individuals, start to speak the language of the group that they're networking with, start to engage with those people, and then, you know, keep it up to date and have it be an accurate reflection of where they currently are. Because, you know, you've got to throw it out there. And I always remember hearing this when people were getting started with real estate investing. If you're getting started, just tell everyone. You know, when you're in line at Starbucks, just say, hey, I'm, you know, you're striking up conversation with somebody. You know, I'm just getting started in real estate investing and I'm looking for some good deals. Are you a realtor? Anybody, you know, anybody that you're going to be surprised. People are going to turn around and say, actually, you know, my in-laws are looking to sell their place. Or you never know, but just, you got to start talking. You got to start putting it out there. You're not going to get anywhere by turning your computer off and sitting on your hands.
Yeah. Yeah. And with LinkedIn, this is just as you want to be in the real world talking about these things, you've got your network that you're building, and you have listening ears just waiting to see what's going on. So you use LinkedIn as that springboard as well.
It's amazing. I don't open it LinkedIn, and I'm going to open it much more. I'm going to make it part of my daily routine now. But I had people in here. There's people who've written me about real estate. They're interested in real estate investing, and they've private messaged me, and I haven't, like, from early February. This is a mistake, Clayton. This is a mistake. Which brings me to my next segment in the show, which is when Donna is going to rip apart my profile and explain to me what I need to improve here. So, all right, sit back, everyone. You can take some notes and listen to what Donna's going to tell me here, because we're going to go through my profile and help me correct this. You want to start from the beginning? Where should we start?
Yeah, let's start at the very top.
Okay.
Let's start at the very top.
With this, which is the picture.
Yes, you knew I was going there. Well, here's the thing. I love this picture, and I can tell, you know, you're in the studio, and it really does lend credibility to you and your image. So I like it, but the problem is it's so small. And if I didn't know who you were, I wouldn't even know which person you might be.
Right.
And so
there's three people in this picture, right?
Yeah, there's three people, and I can't really, you know, make out, you know, your face. So what I would say is this: use that image, but use it as the background image. Make it really big so it's really clear who these people are, and put it in the background. That way you can really use it, the full image. But then what I want you to do is and I know you have a headshot, use your headshot and make sure that it really fills the entire image of that profile picture. So I don't want to see a lot of shoulder. I don't want to see any elbow. I don't want to see any knee. I want your face to be front and center.
Okay. So to be clear, on LinkedIn, there's a background photo, which is kind of like what Facebook calls their cover photo. It's like a long banner. So that's what you would use as sort of, you know, filler. So I'm going to use that wide shot. And then for the circular picture, that's your face. You want to be up close and personal with that picture. Okay. I will change those. Noted and noted. And now down to my title, or I guess my, what do you call that? Your job description?
The headline.
Headline.
And yours is news anchor, keynote speaker, real estate investor. And I've got to tell you, this is by far a much better headline than I typically see, because the default headline that LinkedIn provides is always one's current job title and their current company. But that's not a headline like a headline in a newspaper, which compels you to want to read more. So I always say you want to go beyond just your job title and your current company. You really want to tell people who you are and what you do, and compel them to want to read more of this profile. And so I love that yours says news anchor, keynote speaker, real estate investor, because immediately I know what you do. I know who you are. And if I was looking for those things, I would absolutely click on your profile. But there's one additional aspect to the headline that's very, very important. So yes, it needs to compel a person. It needs to kind of give them an indication of who you are and what you do. But this area is really sensitive for search engine optimization.
Really?
And the more keywords that you can put in here, that you can stuff in here, the better. And so what you'd want to do, Clayton, is you'd want to say, if a person is searching for someone like me, what would those terms be?
Well, a lot of people look for, you know, I can tell you just from the search terms that come into Morris Invest, our website, are turnkey real estate, you know, and passive income, and people want to create legacy wealth, but they look for Morris Invest, turnkey real estate, passive income. Like those keywords are really what.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And what you'd want to do is, I would still keep news anchor. I might keep keynote speaker. That one we might want to throw out. It depends. We have to weigh it. We have to balance, you know, how you want to be known. But you could say news anchor, keynote speaker, real estate investor, specializing in.
Ah.
And put in those terms. And then if a person is searching for any of those terms, the chances of you turning up in those search much higher, and much higher in the search results. Plus, when they see it and they see that you're using those terms that they use to search, they're going to click on you.
Nice. Changing it right now. This is gold. And, you know, like I said, if you're, you know, working in a hospital, you're, you know, a doctor, we've got a lot of, you know, doctors and lawyers who are investors with us. You know, they might be a lawyer first, but they are a real estate investor. And you know what? They're specializing in, you know, connecting with private, I don't know, investors. Or how would you change it if you're trying to build your network?
You know, what you want to do is always think of that person who's going to be viewing your profile. What do they look like? And what is it that they're really, really interested in knowing about you, about, you know, what it is that they're after? And so what I would say is this, you know, consider that target audience and consider what they might be searching for and utilize those terms. And that's what to really focus in on.
Nice. I love it. Okay. A little bit further down the page then is that, you know, you have your location and your companies that you work for, I suppose. And I don't know if I'm skipping over that or if that's not as important. But maybe I just feel like it's not as important. And then it has like a big bio chunk there for that. Yeah. You have to write something up about yourself. This is always so hard for people.
It is. And you know what? That is one of the real reasons why I formed my business and I do what I do. You know, it's hard to write just period for most people. You know, not everyone is a natural writer. But even if you are a great writer, even if you have no problems in that area, for almost everyone across the board, it's hard to write about yourself. It's just hard. And so that's why people turn to us to help them tell this story, to help them write about themselves in a manner that feels authentic and honest and genuine. But in terms of this summary piece, and that's what LinkedIn terms it, is the summary. The one thing that is that has occurred with the new design of LinkedIn, of which you have, because you've got that circular picture. And that is that the summary is collapsed. We're only seeing two lines of it. And then a person needs to hit see more to see the full summary. And so those first two lines are so important now, more so than ever before. And what you want is you want to make sure that those first two lines really reflect the needs of your target audience and makes them want to click see more so they can continue to read your profile. And so I would say to you, you know, what maybe rather than just starting off that you're a news anchor and starting off that you're a real estate investor, really think in terms of your target audience and what's in it for them. What do they need to know?
Well, I mean, I know this from working on this extensively recently. One, you know, the things that I hear from people emailing me on a regular basis are they're scared about taking the plunge in real estate investing. They're overwhelmed by it because they work a full-time job. They're concerned that if they do it themselves, they're going to fail, right? That they're going to have a vacant house, that there's not going to have a tenant in the property. And like what we do at my company, Morris Invest, is we do all of that. So you don't have to worry about any of that. And so those concerns are sort of front and center, and I'm very aware of that because those were my concerns when I first started. So being able to maybe talk about that, mm-hmm. that I understand, yeah. you know, real estate investing can seem overwhelming. You might be frustrated by the thought of taking the plunge, something like that.
Yeah, that would be perfect because a person who's reading it is going to have the immediate thought, oh, he knows exactly what I'm going through. And they're going to want to see more, to keep reading more about, you know, what you can do for them and how you can help them and how you understand that right. those pain points and those issues that they're struggling with. So, and the nice thing is once they hit see more, you know, maybe on the second paragraph, that's where you go into, you know, the work that you're doing on Fox and Friends and all of that other stuff. But that first paragraph, in fact, those first two lines are so important and you really want them to be powerful. You want them to be compelling, and you really want that person to kind of get caught up very quickly so they can keep reading. And then once you have them hooked, then you can go into some of those other aspects of what you're doing and who you are and things that they should want to know about you.
That's interesting. That's gold right there. I hope everyone's paying attention to this at home right now. And then as we scroll down a little bit more, we've got our logo that you can add. And my logo here is not adjusted properly, so that looks bad. Right? The Morris Invest logo looks bad in here. That needs to be optimized.
And let me, and I'll, this is an issue that a lot of people have, and that is that you are not able to upload the company logo yourself. The company logo is pulled from the company page. And so what you would need to do, because you probably own the Morris Invest company page, you as the owner of the page, the administrator of the page, would be the one putting up the logo. And so for all of those people out there who have traced their trajectory, they've recorded all their different experiences, but those logos aren't popping up. The reason is they haven't attached that experience to the proper company page. And so go in there, hit edit, and then make sure that you're really choosing the right company from the drop list. That's what's going to give you that logo that people are so often missing. And if there isn't a company logo, and maybe the company doesn't exist anymore, or, you know, contact the company and see if they could create a company page so you can link to it correctly.
That's great. That's great. Now, as we scroll down the page a little bit more, and I don't want to eat up any more of your time here. You've given us such gold already. Are there some other key areas that we need to really make sure we drill in on? There's an experience section, which will show sort of like your resume, your past work experience, featured skills and endorsements, accomplishments, and then the other people that you're following. Are any of those very important?
They are. They are very important. And I would say for your listeners today and for your clients, one of the things that I would absolutely recommend that they revisit and work on really curating is their recommendations. And I'm not talking about the skills and expertise, but their actual recommendations. When they've gone through a successful project, you know, when good things happen, get recommendations from people, ask for those recommendations. It's a great way to get other people to brag about you, especially if you don't feel comfortable bragging about yourself. And so, you know, use those recommendations. It's a great sales tool, and it's a great way to clear objections, because if a person says, well, you know, I'd like to work with you, but you can always say, well, check out my recommendations. I've got a lot of happy clients. I have a lot of happy partners there that you can feel more comfortable working with me, knowing what they have to say.
That's funny. It's always the hardest thing for me to do, but you know, we have a lot of happy clients, and I forget to ask for, you know, a testimonial or that sort of a thing. And but they're always happy to. And so now we have quite a list. If you go to morrisinvest.com, we have a video right there on the front with a bunch of, you know, testimonials inside from people who've gone through our process. They own multiple properties with us, et cetera. But just asking for it seems, you know, it's kind of hard. Even though they're super happy, they have got a couple of renting, you know, properties right now that are cash flowing. It's kind of, how do you ask people to do that? What's the best way to do that?
I've got a secret. I've got a foolproof secret to get a lot of recommendations, and I'll reveal it to you and your audience right now. And what that is, and this is going to sound a little crazy, I know, but you know, one, when you've gone through something successful and everything is working well, don't be afraid to reach out and ask. But you want to make it as easy for that other person as possible. And so this is my secret. Write the recommendation for them and give it to them. And when you ask for the recommendation, you say, I know that you're busy and I value your time. So I've taken the liberty of writing the recommendation for you. Feel free to edit or change completely. And then write the recommendation as you would like it. And you'll find that by writing the recommendation for the other person, they are going to be not insulted, not angry, but they are actually going to be very happy because you took a task off their shoulders and you've made it easy for them. And plus, they have no idea what to write. No one knows what to write when right. asked for a recommendation. So if you can at least give them an outline, just give them something, you'll find that they're happy and that recommendation is going to pop up very quickly.
I recently, someone asked me to write a book, one of those, whatever you call it, an endorsement on a book that'll go on the book cover. And I didn't know what to write. I said, could you write it for me? And,
yeah.
And I'll approve it, you know, because I want it to be in keeping with what they were going for, but I wanted it to be honest, and they sent it to me and I tweaked it just a little bit. And I said, this is perfect. This is exactly how I would have said it, but I needed a starting place. So for me, I almost looked at it as a starting place.
Yeah. And in fact, there are some people who say, Donna, there is no way in the world I'm going to write that recommendation for the other person. It just seems horrible, but it really isn't. But if you're one of those people, you just like, no, I cannot write it for them. Like you said, at least give an idea. I would love for you to go, I'd love for you to mention how we did this together or this success that I had. So give them an idea of where to go. Because when you just say write a recommendation, who knows what you want stressed.
Right. I mean, I've asked for our happy clients. I just send them a note saying, would you mind putting a little video together, 30 seconds to a minute, and just sort of saying, talk about your experience, where you were before you started investing with us and started buying properties and where you are now and what did that look like for you? And that's really all I'll say. And I get some great videos and they're all totally different. You know, they're totally different from each other. But I love that. That's a great, great strategy. So recommendations. Perfect. Perfect. Anything else before we let you go?
You know, I think one of the most important things for the LinkedIn profile is the realization that success on LinkedIn is getting off LinkedIn. And so we really do want to use LinkedIn as a way to forge real world relationships. And the only way to do that is to get off and get out behind that send button. And so I would say, really make sure that you include your contact information on that profile so people can reach out and they can contact you. And you'll be surprised when you put some effort into your profile, you optimize it, you use it as a way to tell your story, and you include that contact information, you'll be surprised at the opportunities that drop into your lap.
Wonderful. Well, this has been fantastic, Donna. I really appreciate it. Can you tell people how to connect with you? And again, we'll have links to everything that Donna talks about here in our show notes page for today's episode. So you can just go over to morrisinvest.com/episode149. This is episode 149. So Donna, where can people connect with you?
Yeah, you can certainly find me on LinkedIn by just typing in my name, but you can also visit my website. It's linkedin-makeover.com. And that's where we can write your LinkedIn profile for you. We can take this insurmountable task off your back and really present you in a way that allows you to find those opportunities that you deserve.
I love it. And I love your headline. It says, Donna is a writer of powerful LinkedIn profiles, author, speaker, brand strategist, helping you stand out. I love it. I love it. Well done. Well done. Well, I think there's a lot of valuable information in here for real estate investors to start connecting, whether it's with mortgage brokers, lenders, private lenders, realtors, you name it, other investors who are looking for deals. It's a really powerful platform. And Donna, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. This has been great.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
And thanks to all of you for downloading and subscribing. And once again, thank you for getting us on Inked Magazine's list of best business podcasts. I really appreciate it. Thanks so much. And if you are interested in taking action and joining us over at Morris Invest, come on over to the website. Check it out. We've got tons of great resources over there, tons of great blog posts and podcast episodes, back episodes of the podcast you can listen to as well at morrisinvest.com. We'll see you next time, everyone. We publish 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And we'll be back once again on Monday with another great episode of the podcast. Have a great weekend, everyone, and we'll see you back next time. Go out there, take action, and become a real estate investor.